Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast that's always motivated for bowl season. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who is pumped for the Imagine Dragons halftime show.
Oh, you know that's me, Ryan Newman.
And by the other brother, who would have preferred Brad Paisley.
Right. I would take that. That would be Trey Newman.
So this is the first of our bowl preview episodes. I think we mentioned last episode, our goal is to preview every single bowl game and recap every bowl game. We did it last year. This year's going to be a little bit tough. Ryan, you and I are doing some traveling.
Yes.
But I think we can get it done. I think we can do it.
We can pod on the road.
Exactly.
It's doable.
Okay, so let's start out this episode, before we get to the bowls, with a quick ride on the coaching carousel. Let's grade some of the jobs that have been filled since we last took this ride. First one, Georgia Tech has hired Jeff Collins, and we already talked about this possibility a couple episodes ago, but
yeah.
What's your grade for this, Ryan?
I'm giving it a solid B. You know, he's a Southeast guy. He played at Western Carolina, coached down there at Florida, Mississippi State, and UCF. But it's a little worrisome due to the fact that other Temple coaches that have moved on and haven't exactly set the world on fire. You got Al Golden, of course. He was kind of the first one. Didn't work out in Miami. Steve Adazio, I mean, he's doing all right at BC. But
got an extension.
Yeah, he's doing solid. He's doing solid. Not great, though. Matt Rhule at Baylor. I mean, it's a little early, I know, on him. But
To be determined,
but you know, he's not really killing it with recruiting, so that's a little bit worrisome. Hopefully Collins can do better, but I don't know. I just doubt he's going to be able to accomplish much more than Paul Johnson.
Well, I mean, I like the hire, but my biggest fear, and it's a tremendous challenge, is that he has said he wants to go to more of an install an NFL scheme, and it's going to be a complete overhaul, obviously, on the offensive side. To do that, they're going to need mostly new personnel, considering they were running the option. But I still think Georgia Tech is a sleeping giant due to the talent in the area. It wasn't maybe a home run hire, but I'll give it a solid B.
I agree. We're all giving it a B. He did a good job at Temple, of course, but he took over a program that was already winning. So it's always hard to judge, you know, just how great of a coaching job he did. So seems like he'll be a good recruiter. He's known for being a relentless recruiter. So that's why I give it a B. Maryland hired Mike Locksley, of course, offensive coordinator at Alabama. And again, we talked about this. I don't think any of us were super thrilled with this possibility, but what's your final grade here, Trey?
I've gone back and forth on this one. I'm going to say B. I think it's a great hire in terms of him being well ingrained in that area and his recruiting ability. But my skeptical side, though, is the train wreck he had at New Mexico and some of those off-the-field issues. I mean, I know it was New Mexico, but he was 2-26. That's hard for me to get out of my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say B.
I say D. I mean, it could work out. Any hire could work out. But when you're at a Power 5 school and you're hiring a guy who, in his only head coaching job, crashed and burned, I mean, it just... I don't think there's much reason to be optimistic about it. Like, DJ Durkin was recruiting well, and that wasn't quite enough. You got to, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go kind of in between you guys, and I'm going to give it a C. I was leaning towards the D, Mike, like that type of level, but he has been under Saban for the last 3 years, so that has to be a good thing. He's had to have learned some good things from him about how to run a program. And New Mexico, it was a debacle, but man, it's New Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to be successful there. So I don't know. It's not good, but I don't think it's a complete train wreck. So I'm giving it a C.
Okay. Next hire is Liberty hiring Hugh Freeze to be their head coach. I'm going to give this one a C, and the C stands for Christian.
Okay.
Because their Christian values clearly guided them to this decision, you know?
Yeah.
When you hire an athletic director who was in charge of Baylor when they had the biggest sexual assault scandal in NCAA history, and then he goes on to hire a guy who was fired from his last job for allegedly soliciting prostitutes. That's just, those are some Christian values right there. So yeah. I got to give it C for Christian.
This is, it's weird what they're doing for being like the largest Christian school in the country. It's just peculiar that they're going with these two guys here to lead their athletics program. But if you just focus strictly on the field, which I'm going to try to do, I think it's a good hire. I'm going to give this one a B. Recruiting will most definitely see an uptick. That was not one of Turner Gill's strong points. So they're going to get more talent in there than they've had. And you know what? We've kind of seen something similar to this before in Bobby Petrino when he had that, you know, crazy thing happen to him when he was in Arkansas with the extramarital affair. And his was worse, though. He was, you know, he got injured and it was just a worse situation than Hugh Freeze. So if he can, then he turned around and had success at Western Kentucky and then back to Louisville. So if he can do it, why not Hugh Freeze?
Yeah, I love the hire. I'm going to say I'm giving it a B+ for Liberty. I mean, I didn't expect much from Liberty. And yeah, like you said, Michael, it is pretty ironic that the Christian-based school went with this guy, but they're taking a chance. They got a big name and he has a chance to make Liberty at least relevant.
Did you guys hear Hugh Freeze's quote in the press conference?
Handle his junk.
Yep, that's it. Utah State hired Gary Anderson, and so they're running it back. Part two. What do you think about that, Ryan?
You know, if this was any other school that was trying to hire him, like K-State or something like that, I wouldn't be as high on it. But it's Utah State. It's Gary Anderson. He's the guy that really got that program going, and his name carries a lot of weight there. And I don't know. I don't think it's a bad hire for them. I think he's going to be able to kind of continue the success that they've had. So I'm going to give this one a B. I think it's going to work out for him.
I'm going to say B-. Round two doesn't always pan out like you might anticipate. And I mean, it is quite the circle for Gary Anderson. And I agree with you, though, Ryan. I mean, getting a guy that was the architect of the program's recent success, you would think can't hurt. So, you know, for Utah State, I guess this was the hire they had to make.
All right. I'm going B as well. That's pretty much the same combination of your guys' answers there. It is a little bit weird that it seems like the boosters kind of forced this move. That is a little dicey, but yeah, solid B. Kansas State, they hired Chris Kleiman. Is that how you pronounce it? Kleiman?
I don't know. I think Kleiman so. Or Kleiman?
I think it's Kleiman.
Okay. What do you think about the hire, Trey? From North Dakota State, of course.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say B. Now, Kansas State is a really tough job, but I don't like hearing the rumors of them not letting Seth Luttrell bring his entire staff, and there's mumblings of Snyder still calling some of the shots. So I'm a little on the fence, but Kleiman inherited a juggernaut from Craig Bohl, but he definitely kept the program rolling over his 5 years. Manhattan, it's a similar environment as he had at North Dakota State, so I think it kind of makes sense. So I'm going to play the fence. I'm really curious to see how this pans out.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. You know, but with those reports that they could have got Luttrell, to me that just makes my grade worse here. On Kleiman, because they should have let him, Luttrell do whatever he wanted just to get him there.
If that's the reason,
if that's it, then that's bad. I'm going to give this one a D. I know that's a little harsh, but he's only coached at the FBS level for 1 year, and that was 21 years ago at Kansas as the defensive backs coach. Now, you know, if he was the one that made North Dakota State into the juggernaut that they are now, then okay, I would probably be more on board with it. But
agreed,
like you said, Craig Bohl is the guy that got this train rolling at North Dakota State. So Kleiman was just able to keep it going. So I gotta say this is a very underwhelming hire and a D.
Okay, I mean that's fair. I think this is a polarizing one. I think a lot of the college football nerds love it, but I don't know. And I feel like I should, but I guess I have B- written down here. I'm gonna switch it to C+. You know, the good,
that was my effect. Yeah.
Yeah. It is your effect. I mean, you kind of influenced me. I mean, he's gone, he went 67-6, 3 of 4 national championships and has a chance for 4 out of 5 this year, but he took over a team that had gone 43-2 the previous 3 years and three straight national championships. So it's kind of like, it's like the David Shaw effect. Like, is David Shaw good? I guess.
Yeah,
I know.
He's
pretty just, good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
So for that reason, in between an A and an F, I went C plus. Another thing that's not good about this is he's going to stay and coach throughout the FCS playoffs, which means he might miss early signing period. So that's not great.
Well, I'm sure K-State's hoping they lose tomorrow or Friday. I think it is. They
play. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Last one here is a rumor, just a rumor, a potential assistant coaching hire. GoCougs.com is reporting that Kendall Briles is going to become FSU's offensive coordinator. And well, let's just pretend that this actually does happen. So it's obviously controversial for the same reason as Liberty's athletic director. Briles was, of course, coaching at Baylor when they had the sexual assault scandal. And I honestly don't know all the details of that story. And I know there's still ongoing lawsuits, so I don't think anybody knows.
Who does? Who,
Well, yeah, what he knew or didn't know or did or didn't do. So I'll for this one, I'll refrain from thinking about that and just go football-wise. It's an A+. I mean, I think he's one of the best offensive coordinators in the country. I think last year at FAU, he was the main reason that they had such a great year. Not Lane Kiffin. Sorry, Lane. I love you. And then this past year at Houston, he kind of, I think, saved Major Applewhite's offense.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very bullish. If this were to be the case, I'm very bullish on the hire. I give it a B+. He's rising. Obviously has the pedigree to be successful. I guess my only concern about it is it's not maybe the best look for Willie Taggart in the sense that he's an offensive guy and he struggled mightily in year one at FSU and he's looking for help elsewhere, but he's going to a guy that is an up-and-comer, so I would like to hire.
Yeah, it's better than digging his feet in and just
that's
not,
true.
Not getting help.
True. That's the thing. He's not too, I mean, you want a head coach that's willing to make changes for the betterment of the program, and that's what he's doing here. So I agree with Michael. I think it's a home run hire if it happens. You look at Florida Atlantic, well, 2 years ago, they were obviously really good, but then look at them this year. Not that hot, right? They were not nearly as good as offense. So I think the Kendall Briles factor was a huge part of that. So yeah, I agree with Mike.
And by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday night. So if anything's happened since then, we don't know.
Do not know.
Okay, time to get to part one of our bowl previews, and we will start on Saturday, December 15th. The Celebration Bowl is our first one here. North Carolina A&T is a 7.5-point favorite against Alcorn State, and that is in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to take the points in this game. You know, two of Alcorn State's losses this year were to FBS teams. And they almost beat New Mexico State. Not exactly a powerhouse, but still an FBS program.
Yeah.
They have a really good spread offense with a quarterback who's a true dual threat and one of the best players in their league, Noah Johnson. He's really good. But North Carolina A&T, they're kind of top dog lately. They're a great program. They've won two out of the first three Celebration Bowls that they've had. And they have a good dual threat quarterback themselves in Lamar Raynard. But I don't know. I actually did watch a little bit of film on these guys, just preparation for this.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched
last year. I mean, Renard's been, he was the quarterback last year too.
So I'm saying I've been watching, preparing for this thing.
Okay. Oh, like last year, you mean?
Well, and now.
Okay.
All right. And an hour ago. anyways, I think Noah Johnson is better. He's really electric. So that's why I'm going to take Alcorn State.
I'm actually going to give the points with NCA&T. They won it last year. They beat East Carolina this season. And their quarterback, like we said, Raynard, and their running back, Cartwright, they've been staples the last couple years, and I think they get the win.
So I don't have any analysis for this game, Ryan. I didn't watch any tape, but I do have two trivia questions. First one, what does the A&T stand for?
Oh, man.
Agriculture and Technology?
I'll give you a victory there. Agricultural and technical.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, there you go.
And then the second question, who is the most famous NFL player to come out of Alcorn State?
Oh, I thought you were going to say A&T. I was going to go, wasn't it Cohen, Tariq Cohen?
Yeah, that's extra credit right there. Well done.
Alcorn, was it? It's not Steve McNair, was it?
It is Steve McNair.
Wow,
Steve McNair.
That is well a really done. Good one, Trey.
Okay, how about the second most famous player to come out of Alcorn State?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Packers receiver, former.
Donald Driver?
Donald Driver, yep.
Wow.
That's right.
And I'll take the points in this game.
Nice analysis.
Those trivia answers need to go towards my credit against Ryan in my previous trivia episodes.
Yeah, those were some good ones.
Yeah, that's not bad. Man. That's not bad. But we will be having, that'll probably be in about a month, we will do another.
Part four.
We'll have, it'll be the 2018 season trivia show. So
I'm due.
Yeah, you're 0-3, so that's not great.
7-game series. He can still come back.
AutoNation Cure Bowl. Tulane is a 3.5-point favorite against Louisiana. The pause is...
Lafayette. Sorry, excuse me.
Yes, okay.
I was tuning you out again.
Okay, sure. Trey, what do you see here?
So, since Justin McMillan has taken over at quarterback for Jonathan Banks, the Green Wave are 4-1 with their only loss at Houston, although that game wasn't too pretty. And then you got Louisiana, who comes in a little disappointed, having lost their conference championship game to App State. And in some of these lower bowl games, I look at who is motivated or excited to be there. I think in this game, it's Tulane. They won a thriller going for two late to beat Navy and get bowl eligible in their final game. And Willie Fritz, he's a well-regarded coach, so I'm going to take Tulane here.
Okay, I'm going with future University of South Carolina head coach Billy Napier and Louisiana to win outright. Yeah, I'm making my calling my shot right there.
That's a big shot.
Yeah, it's 2 years. 2 years. You just watch. Check the tape. All right.
Okay, we'll do.
No, I think they're decent. Five of their six losses were on the road, and they were against Mississippi State, Alabama, App State twice, and Troy. So, quality losses. I mean, how many more quality losses do you want? Do you want 12? I mean, that would be nice. I would like them even more, but they've only got five, so I'll take what I can get.
I actually had the exact same point, Mike, so thanks for stealing my thunder. But
you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm going with Lafayette. They were battle-tested this year, and I think that matters in the bowl game, so give me them.
New Mexico Bowl, no longer the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, apparently. North Texas, what's that?
What is it?
It doesn't have a sponsor, or at least it's like New Mexico Bowl presented by Albuquerque. I don't know. I think New Mexico is just sponsoring it, maybe.
Okay, fair enough.
But we can look into that. North Texas against Utah State, the Aggies are an 8-point favorite. And it looks, I would have guessed a few weeks ago that both head coaches would be gone in this one. Matt Wells, of course, already left for Texas Tech, and he won't be coaching this game. But Seth Luttrell, it looks like, is staying put.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Yeah, I think that's huge for this program. They need to keep him for as long as they can. But in this game, I think they're a little bit in over their head. Their 9-3 record was against a ridiculously easy schedule. They only played one team in the top 90 of FPI, and that was UAB, and they lost that one.
Yep.
So even with kind of the coaching turnover at Utah State, they do have some stability. David Yost, the offensive coordinator, has not gone to Texas Tech yet. He's going to call the plays in this game. So I love the Aggies to win and cover.
Oh, I thought you were going to make them like your lock.
No. Just Jordan Love. It's a Jordan Love pun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Would have been nice with a little extra there.
Sorry.
I agree with you, Mike. I really like Utah State here as well. I know Luttrell is a great coach, but you know, North Texas, while their schedule has been easy, they haven't been playing their best ball towards the end of the year. And I just think Utah State has proved way more throughout the year in a much tougher conference. Give me the Aggies.
Clean sweep. I like Utah State as well. It is going to be one of the best quarterback battles, though, of the bowl season with Fine and Love.
So, yeah, great names.
That's true. But I'm on Utah State as well.
Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl, Arizona State against number 21 Fresno State, and Fresno State's a 4-point favorite. Who do you like here, Ryan?
Man, this is, I'm really looking forward to this one. This should be a really good game. But I like Fresno State here. Statistically, they have one of the best defenses in the country. So I think they're going to make it hard on Manny Wilkins, Eno Benjamin, and N'Keal Harry.
No, N'Keal Harry. He's going pro. He's not playing.
He's not playing.
Wow. I did not get the news on that one yet. So I like Fresno even more then.
Yeah.
But the Sun Devils, they're good on defense too. They're going to most likely do the same thing to Marcus McMarion and that Fresno offense, slow them down. But, you know, Fresno's playing with a lot of confidence, especially after winning the Mountain West Championship in Boise. So I think with that breakthrough performance, I mean, they're going to just play a great game and probably win by about a touchdown, maybe 10. I'll bump it up a field goal now that N'Keal Harry's out.
Okay, nice. Yeah. You thought N'Keal Harry was going to kick a field goal?
Maybe a punt return, huh?
This is the last game of Manny Wilkins' career. I feel like he's been underrated every year. He's been a 3-year starter. He's been very efficient, really good quarterback.
Yeah, he really has. But, gotta give him credit.
But without N'Keal Harry, you'd think they're going to rely a little bit more on the run, which they have been relying on the run with Eno Benjamin. He's had an unbelievable year, but going up against the number 5 defense in rushing S&P Plus, I'll take Fresno. And actually, I'm going to make that my jingle bell lock. It's the holiday season.
Yeah, I like that one, Mike.
Wow, you guys, I'm the biggest Fresno guy out there.
Are you?
But outside of I've been on their train the last 2 years. But outside of Boise, they
That's
haven't
very
really
brave of you, right? When they started winning.
they haven't faced a team like Arizona State, in my opinion. And
elaborate on that one.
Well, I mean, if you look at their schedule, they lost to a Minnesota team.
That was
a 1-1 against Boise. I think I'm saying Boise's good, but outside of Boise and Fresno or Minnesota, I guess, like who?
Aztecs?
I don't know.
Aztecs aren't very good.
Yeah. Well, they beat Arizona State.
My God, you're putting my brain in a pretzel
okay,
right
we're not
now.
Gonna, we're not going to do the transitive theory here, I like Eno Benjamin. They haven't faced a running back like Eno Benjamin. And ASU comes in winning 4-5 down the stretch. Their only loss was by 2 at Oregon.
Yeah.
I think Herm's going to have the Sun Devils ready. They're going to cover here as a dog. They've got the talent edge. I'm making ASU my lock of the week.
Whoa.
My jingle bell lock of the week.
We really haven't had many opposites. You know,
I think this is the first time that someone's been against each other.
It might be.
Yeah. I don't remember one. That's crazy.
Trey's firm for Herm, I guess.
Oh, man.
Okay. Let's take a little break. Let's take a break from previewing bowls. And we've got one segment this week, and it is a top 5 list. So it's almost winter. It's the holiday season, of course. So I'm going to go with the top 5 beverages to drink during the holidays.
I like it. All right.
Number 5, hot chocolate with marshmallows.
Oh, that's
a classic.
Good one. That's got to be number 1.
Nope, number 5. No explanation needed for that one. Number 4, I'm going a hot toddy. Does anyone know what that is?
I don't know what's in a hot toddy.
Whiskey, honey, lemon juice, and hot water. It's got vitamin C for health, honey to soothe, and alcohol so that you can't feel feelings.
Aren't there like new studies out that honey really isn't as good for you as once thought?
Are there? I didn't know about that. There's a study about
everything. Yeah.
So I'm going to I've never had a hot toddy. I'm going to full disclosure here, but it sounds pretty good. Number 3, cider. Any kind of cider. Apple cider, pumpkin cider, pear cider, with alcohol, without alcohol, hot, cold. It's all good. Number 2, pumpkin spice lattes.
That's wow.
It's a great choice. I know it's kind of reserved for, you know, for white girls in yoga pants, I think is kind of they've kind of cornered the market on that. But white boys who podcast like them too.
I was gonna say, yeah, you've had quite a few, I'm sure.
I have. Number 1, it's a controversial number 1, eggnog.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you guys like eggnog?
I'm not a big fan.
No, I don't like eggnog.
I think if it were called anything but eggnog, though, people would love it. It's very, very tasty, but people don't even want to try it because it sounds gross, right? Eggnog, like it sounds bad.
That's not why I don't like it, but I guess it doesn't help.
All right, that's my list.
Yeah.
Don't at me. Okay, back to football. Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. Georgia Southern is a 1-point favorite against Eastern Michigan. What are you thinking here, Trey?
So I'm going to take the 1 point with Eastern Michigan. So as we've discussed on this podcast, Eastern Michigan is in every game that they play in. They went 7-5 this year, but early in the year, they had a 4-game losing streak where they lost 2 games in overtime to solid teams in San Diego State and Northern Illinois. On the road at a 10-win Buffalo team, they lost, and then at Western Michigan by 3. So Chris Creighton's team could easily be 9 or 10 win team, and we might be talking about him getting a bigger job. But they I feel like they played a much tougher schedule than Georgia Southern. My only concern is that they're somewhat susceptible to the run, and obviously Georgia Southern is an option team, so they'll need a good effort from their D-line and front seven to stop Shai Wirtz and Wesley Fields. But I like Eastern Michigan.
Okay, again, I have no analysis on this game, but I have a trivia question. Shai Wirtz, so he's got, obviously, you just mentioned Georgia Southern's quarterback. He has 109 pass attempts this season, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. My question is, what is the all-time FBS record for most passes in a full season without throwing an interception?
Boy, that's really hard. I'm going to say like 175.
Trey?
251.
224.
Damn it.
Matt Blunden of Virginia in 1991. He had 19 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And the previous 3 years of his career, he had 7 interceptions in 80 pass attempts.
Wow. That's just, I don't know if that's random luck or what. That's crazy. It's
a fun fact, right? Fun fact.
That is a nice fact.
I'll take Eastern Michigan to lose by 1 and push.
It's so cheap, Mike.
What?
Push?
I mean, that's just what Eastern Michigan does. They lose heartbreakers. I know they've won a couple this year. They've won, been on the right end of it, but...
Yeah, that's a good point, I guess. I'm just happy that they're in a bowl game after what happened to them last year, where they really deserve to go to a bowl game after going 5-7, but what, they lose like 6 straight by a touchdown or less and a couple overtime ones, so I felt bad for them last year, and you know, they almost did it this year where they did cost themselves a bowl game, but they got hot towards the end. So I'm going to take them. I'm just cheering for them. No real analysis, but go Eagles.
Okay. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Middle Tennessee against Appalachian State, and the Mountaineers are a 7-point favorite. Middle Tennessee is coming off a heartbreaker here. Last game of the season, the Conference USA Championship. Of course, they lost by 2 to UAB. And it was in part because they had too many men on the field on that last play, so that cost them a chance at the last possession. But it's Brent Stockstill's last game, and he was a 4-year starter at quarterback. Feels like he's been there forever. So I think he'll be motivated to go out with a win. And then App State, of course, lost Scott Satterfield to Louisville. Well, I that sounded weird the way I said that.
Louisville.
I don't know. I don't know how to say it. I'll just say it our West Coast way. We say it Louisville, so I'll just go with that. But I think he's one of the best coaches in the country, so maybe they won't be as prepared as they otherwise would be. I'll go with Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, this is a sneaky good game, but using my motivation angle, I think Middle Tennessee comes in more disappointed. Obviously, like you discussed, Michael, with their close title game loss. So I like Appalachian State, because they have one of the best pass defenses in the country, which should slow down Stockstill.
Yeah, I agree with Trey. I really like App State here. Their only 2 losses this year are a close loss at Penn State and then one to Georgia Southern when they didn't have Zach Thomas, their quarterback, and that apparently was very large because their backup sucked.
Yeah, he did.
So that's huge, and I'm sure Zach Thomas will be playing in this one because otherwise they dominated their schedule. And Middle Tennessee, you know, not so much. They lost 5 games, so I'm taking the Mountaineers.
Middle Tennessee, more quality losses, though, Ryan. I don't know how you don't go with
you
that.
You are big on the quality losses.
You know. No, I'm just kidding. Tuesday, December 18th, this is our last game here. Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl. UAB is a 2.5-point favorite against Northern Illinois. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, I definitely expect a defensive struggle in this one because neither QB is really that good. And both teams have really good defenses. But I'm going to lean with UAB because they have a good running game. They average over 200 yards per game on the ground. And you know, they're sticking with their freshman quarterback, Tyler Johnston, who's more of a dual threat than their other guy, AJ Erdely. You know, when UAB lost at Middle Tennessee 27-3 a few weeks ago, AJ Erdely was the quarterback. But in the championship game, they started Tyler Johnston, the freshman, and then what happened? They won. So I really like the fact that Tyler Johnston has that added dimension with his legs. So give me UAB.
Well, if we're just talking about last games looking good, then Marcus Childers has learned how to throw, and he's...
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has. No. Did you not watch the last game, Ryan?
Buffalo, he was incredible.
Yeah. So I'm just going to one game sample. I'm going to take Marcus Childers and Northern Illinois.
I'm going Northern Illinois as well. UAB, great story. But the Huskies, they showed me something in that comeback victory against a good Buffalo team in the MAC title. They also have a big strength of schedule advantage for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, if we're talking quality losses, Northern Illinois has several. So suck on that. All right, that's all the games we're previewing this week, but we do have a questionable finish. Tennessee D-lineman Kyle Phillips won the Peisman Trophy this week, which is awarded annually to the linemen who decidedly did unlineman things. What's something that you look funny doing?
You know, for me, it's when I get a haircut. I have this weird thing where... You know, when they do the short buzz kind of thing around your neck and stuff, they trim it, makes that little buzzing sound, and I get a really bad, like, it just tickles. It sends some sort of thing down to my lower back. I'm just, like, twitching the whole time, and I just dread when that time comes for a haircut. So the barber or whoever's cutting my hair is always like, are you all right? And I'm like, yep, just make it quick.
I'm just a child.
Make it quick. Yeah, I'm a child. Make it quick. It's actually been getting better the last few years, but
oh, that's great. That's good to hear, Ryan. I'm very happy for you.
As a kid, it was absolute torture.
Okay, I'm going to go with sleeping because I never sleep under the covers. I sleep on top, on top of the comforter, and I use... What's that?
Even with Sarah?
Oh, we sleep in separate beds. We're not married, Ryan, so what are you talking about?
This is pure.
Yeah, and...
Christian values we have.
I also don't use a pillow. I use a blanket as a pillow.
I don't use a pillow at all, actually, myself, so...
Wow, that's... Well, you're just a psychopath.
That's psychotic, yeah. It's when I do anything with basically the left side of my body. Like, you could draw a line down my body. I can't see well out of my left eye. I can't throw... If I try and throw left-handed, it's just...
It's pretty pathetic.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. kicking left-handed is probably my best trait, but it's still...
Kicking left-handed?
That's even
impressive,
tougher.
Actually.
Yeah, kicking left-footed is no good, but it's at least better than my arm. Throwing with my left hand is just embarrassing.
Okay, next question. New Bowling Green head coach Scott Loeffler hired former Louisville defensive coordinator Brian Van Gorder to be his linebackers coach and assistant head coach. What thing that you know is a bad idea do you do anyway?
Mine would be gambling.
It's a good one.
Whether it be the track, betting on sports, betting on anything, I pretty much know... It's stacked against me, but it's fun. It's a rush, and those wins that you do get, it's worth it.
Okay, for me, it's cheering for Nebraska basketball.
Ooh, wow!
Never won an NCAA tournament game.
That they could do
Not
it
once.
This year. This is the year.
This is the year.
this is the year.
All right.
No, who knows? But they're actually, this is probably the best team they've had in quite a while.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Since that team that never won a tournament game.
Yeah, that one. Since the Teron Liu days. All right. For me, you know those 20-minute parking spots?
Yep.
I stay in them longer than that.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean like you go to the grocery store, you're parking in the 20-minute lot?
I don't know many grocery stores that have 20-minute parking.
Well, it's like they're in like the plazas, you know?
Yeah, the plaza. Yeah. No, I'll do it.
Strip malls. Strip malls have those.
Yeah, exactly. Strip malls. Yeah, that's a better... Yep.
Okay. Bleacher Report came out with the top 10 Heisman candidates for 2019, and starting from the bottom of the list, they had JT Daniels, DeAndre Swift, Adrian Martinez.
Thank you very much. I'm not crazy for saying that.
Nope. Daryl Henderson, Travis Etienne, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Jonathan Taylor, Sam Ehlinger, and of course, Tua. So who was the biggest snub from that list? I'll go first. It's almost always a quarterback who wins the Heisman, of course, and they're almost always on the best team. So I'm going to go Austin Kendall at Oklahoma. I don't know if you guys realize this. They've won two straight Heismans, Oklahoma quarterbacks. So
wow.
Got to think he's got a decent shot. If he starts.
That's a great pick. But it doesn't matter who they put back there. I mean, they could put an offensive lineman back there. I think given their track record, Lincoln Riley's going to get that guy to New York.
But he'd at least win the Heisman.
That's true. So you went the Oklahoma quarterback route. I'm going to say this is tough because I went with good teams. I'm looking at like guys like Jake Fromm, Ian Book at Notre Dame. But I'm going to dark horse Tate Martell. Great high school quarterback at Bishop Gorman, and with all the talent around him, he should thrive, assuming Haskins goes pro.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with you guys, actually. I was between Tate Martell and Austin Kendall, and I lean towards Tate Martell because I think he's more of a shoe-in to start than Austin Kendall since Spencer Rattler's coming in. But the thing I don't like about that list that came out is just, you know, it feels like it's just looking at this year and not projecting for 2019. You know, all those guys in the list started last year, whereas the three Heisman finalists this year, this is their first year starting. So
that's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at Athlon's top, you know, or they rank all 130 starting quarterbacks at the beginning of every year. And I was looking at that list kind of to try and answer this question. And Kyler Murray, I think, was like 35th or something like that.
Wow.
And Tua was number one on the list, but people forget they got so much crap for that. People were like, oh, you guys just love the SEC, or oh, he's only played, you know, one half. And they were very right on that.
I remember the Tua being number one, and I didn't have an issue with it. But
no, neither did I. It was like, okay, wow, that's high, but it's hard to argue too much against it.
I don't think I really had an issue with Kyler Murray either at that point. Might have been a little low.
Maybe. I don't know. I was high on Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you were pretty high. I wasn't super high. I didn't know. I mean.
No, I knew. I knew.
yeah, sure you did.
okay. Well, thanks for listening to our first Bowl preview episode. The episodes are no longer just going to be dropping Tuesday nights, Wednesday morning. For the next few weeks, because it's a little haphazard with the holidays and with all these bowls. But like I said, our goal is to preview and recap every bowl game. So just make sure you're subscribed to our podcast feed and you will get every episode for free. Unbelievable.
What a value.
You guys want to go Patreon and charge like 10 bucks an episode?
No, it's the holidays. Let's keep it free.
Hold off to the new year.
All right. All right. We'll hold off. We'll hold off on that. All right. Thanks for listening and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.